Please be seated. And if you will indulge me in a short prayer for our sermon this morning, it needs it. Lord God, we pray simply that you would have your way with us. In the words of Scripture we share, in the words that come from my mouth, in the words that are written on our hearts by the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen. Two scriptures this morning, both of them epistles, two different authors, but I think they come together to make a unified message for us this morning. They're well known. This first scripture, Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 16, has within it many sermons. We'll be taking a look at a focus of the beginning of the scripture, please. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. James chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Form our second scripture. As well, this scripture is the reason for the United Methodist practice of anointing, which you've heard a little bit about in the children's story this morning. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. This is the word of God for us, his people. Indeed, amen. We need to talk about an ancient practice for modern ministers this morning. I very much appreciate the opportunity to be before you in worship this morning and to present to you some of the faith that goes into forming what we hope will be an enduring ministry of Strongsville United Methodist Church, that of lay care ministers. I also appreciate the fact that we come into this sanctuary Sunday morning after Sunday morning, and virtually every Sunday morning we are able to enjoy high quality worship, which features sermons delivered by two pastors that I have to thank, sermons that are insightful and challenging, faithful, loving, pastoral. That's every Sunday, except today. You went to the effort of getting out in the cold, and I'm the best that you've got to stare at, but you will survive. This too shall pass. Keep in mind that the scripture this morning said that some are pastors, and these are my pastors. And I say that with pride. I've had many pastors. And some are teachers. And so you may be seeing more information than you care to see this morning, but don't be afraid to look up. It'll be prettier than what you see in the pulpit. And we hope that we can learn together about a call to ministry that God may have for all of us. You see, our scripture this morning, in my mind, isn't just a good reason for beginning and strengthening a lay care ministry here at Strongsville United Methodist Church. Those two scriptures, taken together, form a mandate. I don't feel as if I have a choice. I have been called by God to help us develop this ministry because it says in Scripture that that's what we should do. You see, the vision is that eventually we will have lots and lots of lay ministers who are called and empowered by the Holy Spirit, who are commissioned by this church to pray and visit and comfort and befriend and anoint and offer communion and to love one another. In order for that to happen, though, you're going to have to know more about me so that you feel comfortable that I'm the right guy for the job. So let's give it a try and see what happens. Carl Stone, who is this guy anyway? The first thing I want you to know is that I consider it a real privilege to be serving with you and on behalf of the Church of Christ in this ministry. Standing here this moment is a humbling privilege that you have allowed me. I want you to know that my chief qualification for this ministry is that, like it or not, for better or for worse, I am your brother in Christ. It's that simple. That's what qualifies me for this ministry, and I hope that you will find that that qualifies you for ministry as well. It is true that I'm retired and recovering as a chief engineer, and that I'm a boilermaker, graduated from Purdue. Go Buckeyes.
Amen.
Okay. I'm also a retired pastor of 7 years experience, 2 licensed in Peru, Indiana, Church of the Brethren, 2 years licensed in the Kokomo, Indiana, Church of the Brethren, and 3 years ordained senior pastor at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, Church of the Brethren. I have an MDiv from Bethany Theological Seminary, which is on the campus of Earlham College, which is in Richmond, Indiana. And probably most important for this particular ministry, I've got 500 hours of training in clinical pastoral education at Howard Community Hospital in Indiana, and it's a regional trauma center. So my experience has been rather broad in caring as a chaplain. You might also want to know that I am baptized as an infant United Methodist. I wandered for a few years in the Church of the Brethren. I was also baptized there as a young adult. But in many ways, my coming back to Strongsville Church in the last 2 years and being a member for the last year feels like coming home. I believe that I believe what you believe. And I'm thankful for God, thankful to God for that. Another way of perspective of taking a look at me then to help you feel more comfortable would be to walk through my wallet pictures. Now, I promise you that this is the first and the last time that we will do that, because one of the very first learnings that you make as a chaplain is that you never, ever pull out your wallet and burden a person who is not feeling well with your family pictures. So, oh, okay. So, listen up, look up, and here we go. First, you have Carl himself. Apart from being and that image looks like it has been stretched this way. Apart from being good-looking and a snappy dresser, as you can see from the picture, I will invite you that since this is the picture that appears on my chaplain badge that I'll wear around my neck proudly when I come to visit you in the hospital, don't visit anyone who doesn't have this picture because he or she is an imposter, obviously. And I've already pre-cleared that with the pastors. Then you have my wife, and you don't have an opportunity to see her very often. She has attended She is a member, and she's very supportive of what we're doing here, but she has a ministry which has been deferred for 6 or 7 years while she traipsed around after me. She has a music ministry to not one or two, but 3 churches, Doylestown Lutheran and Copley United Methodist and Copley First Pres. And so she spends her Sunday mornings very, very busy, but enjoying a ministry that she has long wanted to practice. All you really need to know about me is I am Papaw for Lena and Lucy Stone. And these two are right now haunting the 1105 service, but they have spent enough time here that you may recognize them. And they come from a wonderful family. Matt and Mare do a wonderful job of raising these two girls, and that family is going to appear any second now. There we go. And we're very, very proud. Matt and Mare were the ones who introduced us to Strongsville United Methodist, and we're glad for that. We're also proud of how they're raising their family and where they're headed. I have a daughter, Laura, and we're very proud of her as well. She's working on a PhD in Boston University, practical theology. However, right now she's on leave of absence for long-term health situation. She's down in Virginia trying to regain strength to continue her studies. So you put us all together and you have a family that looks like this. And this picture's a little bit dated, and I chose it intentionally. The twins obviously are a year and a half younger than they are right now. And I chose it for a very specific reason. I want you to know that as I come to you to minister with you, I share, absolutely share, the fact that I am human and you are human. And we belong to human families, and our family has no more, no less dysfunction than you probably know at home with your family. So there's nothing special about us. We do have our dysfunctions. We also clean up pretty nicely because this good picture involves some amount of shaving. So the next thing you need to know about me is what I believe. And I came here today with 3 symbols. I hope that you'll accept the short story because I wrote entirely too much. When you get the opportunity to preach not too often, then you feel like you got to cover the waterfront. I wear today for the first time a stole, which is a symbol of a pastor's yoke with Christ in ordained ministry. But I want you to know that this, and this one, I have two only, never worn them before. Both of them were given to me by my daughter, and this was the loudest one because I wanted you to be able to see it. The most important part of this symbol of the stole for me is that I absolutely, as a minister, need to feel as if I am in yoke with you. And so I would feel good about putting this stole on any number of persons I am looking at right now, because no longer than I've been in this congregation, I have been yoked in ministry, very active ministry, with individuals just like you. And so this is an important symbol to me as we consider anointing and being ministers. Another symbol I want you to take note of is my name badge. I have worn this for the year that I've been a member, and I'll continue wearing it. And you can take this as my symbol of wanting to be hospitable. If I'm out in the vestibule and I don't know people, and that is most of us right now, I want you to know who I am, and I want to be able to stick my hand out to you and say, "Hi, I'm Carl. Help me again with your name." Or if it's a brand new person, "My name's Carl anyway." And you can come back to me with your name and we can get to know each other. The third symbol is the oil. And you've heard all about that in the children's story this morning. The scriptures this morning call for us to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Now let's practice this a little. Who are the pastors? Who are the teachers? And we have some teachers out in front of me. And who are the saints? equipping the saints for the work of ministry. That's where you come in. You are the saints that God is calling to ministry, and we're committed to equipping you to do that ministry. I believe in calling for the elders of the church to pray. I believe, because I've seen it work. Who are the elders? The elders are an Old Testament, New Testament way of saying simply the leaders. And as I look out among our congregation, I see many leaders, many elders. And we are called to pray with people. And I believe in anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. I buy that hook, line, and sinker, not just because of the scripture this morning, but because of pastoral experience that I've seen. I have seen healing because of the prayer that happens in community around offering this sacrament of the Lord. I want you to keep in mind that we do not offer anointing as last rites. That's not what it is for us. It is for some churches. This is anointing for forgiveness of sins, for healing of the body, for strengthening of the spirit, and for calming of the mind. And think about it just a moment. You may need those things this morning. I do, and most of the time. So we all are ripe for anointing. I believe that the prayer of faith will save, that the Lord will raise us up, that sins will be forgiven. We must pray for one another in order to be healed, and the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Remember the father who had the demon-possessed son who desperately needed to be healed? And the father said to Jesus, I believe. Help my unbelief. That's where I find myself most of the time. I believe, and yet I have niggles that God can help me past. By the way, who are the righteous? Who are the saints? Who has Jesus Christ made right with God? That's what righteous means. We have been made right with God. The righteous are we. So let's put it all together. Every disciple is a minister. We print that at the top of our bulletins. You've been in churches where that, every member a minister, every disciple a minister. We print it. Now we need to act it out in faith. By the way, no one is asking, is it true that every disciple is a minister? That's a statement of faith fact. We are called to kingdom work. Faith is action. Love is action. Both are work, but they're the most rewarding work you will ever come up against. There's work to be done, and it's just like a marriage. The investment that you make in your married life pays back 100-fold in reward. So does this. Thank God for that. We're called to the kingdom work of visitation, prayer for one another, healing, caring, forgiveness of sins. Those are the things that God calls us to. Thus, lay care ministers. We are hoping that eventually we don't just have a select group of lay care ministers. We are hoping that this will spread out and become a part of our culture as a congregation, a part of our very DNA. And you know, as I look out in the congregation, I see folks who have already taken up the mantle of lay caregiving. Nobody called them to this. They took it up. But we're going to make it easier for all of us to be lay ministers by providing training that will enable lay care ministers to offer prayer in all kinds of situations, at the hospital, where, home, wherever. As a matter of fact, we'll be sending out a letter to invite lay care ministers to consider taking training, 8 Sunday evenings, 20 hours of training, to begin being lay care ministers. And we hope that this ministry will grow and grow and flourish in our congregation. Let's take a look at the elements of care visitation that we've got going on at Strongsville. First of all, we have the pastors. And let me assure you that the pastors aren't going anywhere. The pastors are going to be strong visitors as they have been in the past. We are going to add to what they are able to do. Just by the by, I know from pastoral experience, being the senior pastor of the church, that they are trying to do more care and visitation than two possibly, ever possibly could do. But you can trust me to keep my brothers honest. And it'll be an easy job because I see every day what they're doing, and it is strong, and it is stretching, and it is sometimes going beyond what they should be doing. Stephen Ministers, a wonderful program of one-on-one visitation over an extended time with persons going through crisis. And it's here, and it's established, and it's working well, and so I can only praise God for Stephen Ministry here. Shut-in visitors have been added in the not-too-distant past, where we have one-on-one pairing of shut-ins with lay visitors. And so we've already begun this lay caring. But we want to add care ministers who are capable of going to the hospital or to hospice or to rehab and to visit and to share prayer and to anoint and to offer communion where it's appropriate. So the advantages of care ministers: better and more comprehensive care in the hospitals, rehab, hospice, nursing homes, at home. Better follow-up with grieving persons and recovering members. More disciples find their place in ministry. It will be a wonderful experience, guaranteed, for those who risk becoming care ministers, because they will grow and they will help the rest of us to grow. And it provides more room for congregational growth. You see, I've already taken a trip to Leawood, Kansas, and I've seen the Church of the Resurrection and how they do care ministry. And their senior pastor, Adam Hamilton, credits care ministry as the major source of their growth. And keep in mind that this is the largest United Methodist church in the land, and it's still growing. Most importantly, to do this is faithful, and that's what really counts with me. Now, I'm sorry that the guy who is asking has a crooked finger with some arthritis in it and white hair and is a little craggy looking, maybe resembling Uncle Sam. But I want you to know that we need your consideration for this ministry. If not being an active lay care minister, prayer certainly. And when you get down to it, I'm not the guy who says, I want you, I need you. It's God who's issuing the call. And so I don't want you to mistake that. You know, if we had time, I would tell you about the world's very first care minister. What it amounts to is it was 1976, and her name was Betty Hartlerod, and you say, so how could she possibly have been the very first care minister? She ministered to me in a deep, deep time of need. She was a Sunday school teacher in the past, and she left me with the desire to do the very, very active visitation that my wife and I have always done, whether we were ordained or not. So let's recap the first faith fact that we've talked about. Disciples of Jesus Christ are ministers being equipped to continue the ministry that Jesus himself began. Now, you've heard the words. If you can affirm those words, I would invite you to repeat those with me. If not, I'm not trying to twist your arm. But if you can affirm that faith fact, let's say it together. Disciples of Jesus Christ are ministers being equipped to continue the ministry that Jesus himself began. And a second faith fact, just like the first one. One corporate ministry left to us by Christ, as we are his body, the family of God, a church family, is visiting and caring for the members of our church family. Now, if you can affirm that, then I would invite you to do the same thing and repeat with me. One corporate ministry left to us by Christ, as we are his body, the family of God, church family, is visiting and caring for the members of our church family. Amen. May it be so. The third is my assertion, and so I won't abuse you by asking you to repeat this, but you might consider if you buy this. The ancient and scriptural practice of anointing for healing and forgiveness of sins is at least as important for lay ministers today as it was in the first century church when we all were lay ministers. We live in an age of anxiety. That's been pronounced by practically everybody in the know. One main antidote for that anxiety that we all feel in the time that we live is prayer and pastoral care and love and reassurance. And those are the things that we can offer to one another as lay care ministers. So we've talked about an ancient practice which I believe is of utmost importance for modern ministers, and that's all of us. We join us in a journey of faithfulness and a challenge to the calling that we have as a church and as individual disciples. Will you come and share with one another? May it be so. Amen.